We're in the second part of a three-part series, Set, Put, Let, and this is about put. What do we put off and what do we put on? In Colossians chapter 3, we're in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have, the second put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, no divisions at all, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Did you know that's who you are? You are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. What do we put on then? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's the reading of the Word of God for the people of God, and thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, we're talking about spiritual growth. Wouldn't it be great if each of you had a personal spiritual weather forecaster? I think that'd be awesome. You could turn on the TV to your own private channel, and they would have 24-hour news updates about what is expected in the spiritual climate of your life tomorrow, next week. And could you prepare? I mean, it's not just about getting bread and milk then to make sure you're okay, or filling up your gas tank, or preparing for whatever storms of life may come in. But if you could see into the future, if you could see your spiritual life tomorrow, if you could see what was going to happen in your life, even in the physical world, you wouldn't run out to get bread and milk, perhaps, a full tank of gas. You would say, in order to be able to face the things that are in front of me, the trials, the challenges, the temptations that are going to come my way, in order to be able to even overcome them, I know that I am going to have to be spiritually alert. I'm going to have to be deep in my walk with Christ. I am going to have the Word of God in me so that I will be able to know what is right and wrong, good and bad. If we had a spiritual weather forecaster, it would be easy. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week or next year or next decade is even going to look like. We don't know what ups and downs are going to come our way. And so there's a tendency for us to relax. I have to admit, yesterday, in the middle of the day, when I was hearing all about this storm coming, I looked up in the sky and it was blue. And I thought, these people are crazy. They have no idea what they're talking about. And then I finally believed it last night, and I woke up this morning, I looked out of my driveway, and it was perfectly clear, and I said, these people are crazy. They have no idea what they're talking about. And of course, go outside right now, they were right. Maybe off by a few hours. What would it be like if we knew what was coming? How seriously would we be about digging in and serving and going Christ? Let me remind you about this pathway we're talking about of spiritual growth in our lives, one at a time. We move from being a non-believer first, and we want to reach people and help them to become a skeptic. And if we can do that, help someone become from a non-believer to a skeptic, that's a ground that has been gained. We move from there to a seeker, and a seeker is somebody who's beginning to explore Christ and beginning to wonder about God and begin to think maybe there is something to this church and maybe these Christians aren't completely crazy and they're simply checking it out. And the hope is that someday we can have a believer, and a believer is somebody who, it's John 3:16, believes in Jesus Christ. And if you believe, you will be saved, Scripture says. But we know we're not stopping there. And that is part of what we saw with membership today. We want to move people beyond simply being a believer and being a follower of Christ. And we make these vows, and these are strong vows we make in the United Methodist Church, that we're going to serve this church with our prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness. Let me break those down quickly. That means if you're a member of this church, you need to be praying for this church, this ministry, the staff, the finances, the outreach, the youth program, the children's program, you name it. You need to be praying for this church on a daily basis. Our presence means that you're going to be here. Here we are in the middle of a blizzard, and you're here. Good job. It's crazy. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, that means we will sacrificially give to make this ministry have impact in the community around us. And money doesn't grow on trees, in spite of what people believe. It only comes from the pockets of the people who are faithful to God's church. Prayers and presence and gifts and service means that we will find a way that we'll serve one another. Here's what I'm planning to do at the end of this service. I'm going to ask for about 5 people to stand up to serve others by going out and just scraping their windshields and cleaning off their cars and getting them ready. That's the kind of what we believe in, service to other people. And the last one is witness. Because we don't hold it ourselves. We witness to others. We grow them. We tell them about Christ. We keep it simple here. Introduce them to Christ and invite them to church. That'll start a spiritual conversation. That'll be the beginning of witness in your life. That's what a follower does. A follower learns how to do all of those things. But we move beyond a follower. We go to a discipler. A discipler is somebody who takes someone else and mentors them or comes to them side by side like a prayer partner and grows with them. And finally, we want to be Christ-like in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Now, here's the first question that comes to mind in that. The first question is this: in the past year, in the past 12 months, have you grown along that path? And the second question is really as important, maybe more important, in the next year: what's your plan? As you think about moving forward and growing in your life, how do you plan to move as a follower, a disciple, a Christ-like person? How is God challenging you to grow in the faith and to grow in Him? Because if you can do this, then you can begin to understand what it means in our Colossians passage to put off this old person and to put on a new person, which has all kinds of different virtues. Now, our church has a plan for all of this. Our 2014 spiritual growth plan as a church begins now. And actually, the book that you received, we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. That is the winter plan for our church to help you grow. It's really to get more of God in me, is the idea of this. I want more of God in me, more knowledge, more presence of God, more understanding about the things of the Scripture. I want them more of that in me. And then in the spring, we'll be doing a study called Soul Detox, and that's to detox the poisons, the garbage, the junk out of our lives, and to get rid of it. Because when you put something on, you got to take something off, you got to really release these things of ourselves to get more in. And then in the summer, we will be actually practicing discipling other people. I will put a resource in your hands, and you'll grab somebody, same gender, and you'll walk side by side with them to grow in the faith. And then finally, this fall, we'll be looking at the church through the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy, as he was a pastor of a church in Ephesus, and what it means to be a healthy church. And I believe if we do this, we can be strong. So let's dig in to the brand new study, the winter study, right now. You have a resource in your hands. It's a book we gave you. Grab it right now. Okay, I want to walk you through this just a little bit to help you understand how we're planning to use this. There's a daily reading. So turn to page 8 and 9, and follow me along with this. Page 8 and 9 is the layout of our daily readings. There are 5 days most weeks, except for this first week, there are 6 days because of the number of authors that we had. And they have a variety of different topics we'll be looking at each week, so you can find where you are in each one, put your bookmark there, and you're ready to go. The second component is this, that we have a weekly life group discussion. So turn to page 121 for an example. Page 121. And this is simply just at the end of somebody's work. Marianne Knott, she's actually a graduate of our SALT class, and she is a member of the church through our extension, the Compass Church, and she's actually on staff there. This is her chapter that she wrote. And at the end of that, we've written questions for each chapter. So what you can do is you can write in your answers as you go through each chapter. Look at page 121, then over to page 122. There are five or six each week, and you can write in your answers. Then when you get together as a small group each week, this will be the foundation for your group discussion. You'll look back at each chapter, maybe pick out a question or two, and say, these are the ones that we really want to dig into, and say, how is God shaking us and moving us in the midst of all of that? If you have not signed up to be in a life group yet, you need to do that really soon. And they're inside of your program today. There's a green insert, I think it is, that's a place to sign up. There's also a person you can talk to. His name is Bill Bruneau. Would you stand up right here and spin around? And he is the pastor of our... Stay standing for a minute here, Bill. Stay standing. I'm not done talking about you. He's the pastor of our life group ministry. Bill is a long-time pastor. He's been serving as a pastor longer than I have. He recently retired from full-time ministry. We were blessed to get him on staff part-time with us. So we get full-time brains for part-time money. That's always a good deal for me. So see Bill if you can do that, and he'll help you get linked up with the group. Thanks, Bill. Awesome. He's a great, great guy, and he loves to connect people and help them get to know who God is. He also has this deep passion for missions. He's going to India down the road here. He just loves people, so you're going to love him. The third component is the weekly sermon, and the sermon's going to tie together each one. Turn to page 266. And you got some blank lines. Starting with, this is the page for today. You can have two pages there. You can write in today and flip it a page, and you can see the page for next week. And then flip it a page, and you can see the actual week one that we begin 2 weeks from now. So we're not going to put notes inside the bulletin for the next 2 months. You bring this, and it'll be your resource. And the final component, I think this may be the biggest piece of all of it, is you setting your own 2014 spiritual growth plan. Page 284, take a look at that. 284, 285. And what you do with this is when you finished each week, you do your daily reading, go to your weekly life group, come to the sermon. When you finish each week, you just jot down in that little bitty space there, and we didn't leave you very much, and we did it on purpose. We don't want you to write a whole novel here. What are the one or two or at most three things out of that week that it's challenging you? You do that for each of weeks 1, 2, all the way to week 7. And then on the right-hand side on page 285, the step 2 is after you've done that, spend some time in prayer and ask the Lord to reveal to you out of everything on that left page, what are maybe the one or two things that God's really lifting up, say, this is an area to grow. The reality is we will not grow in 47 areas. We won't. But we will grow if we set our minds to it, set our hearts to it. We will grow in one or two. So you set what is for you, like this is an area of life that you're really to grow in, and then determine that. And the bottom half of that, then you can set some goals. I love goal setting. It's helpful to me. So you can set some spring and summer and fall goals, and you can set those goals for yourself and say, this is what I'll do in those months. And at the very bottom, this is critical to this. I will share my spiritual growth plan with this person. Then you sign it, and you put a date on it, and you share it, and you show that other person. Say, here's my plan. I want to give you my book. I want you to look at this. And what that does is it gives that other person permission to say, hey, how are you doing with that? Come about April, call you up. Hey, what's going on? And that thing that you decided that you wanted to really learn about hearing from God more deeply. What are you doing to make that happen? What have you heard from God? Or they may get a hold of you in some other kind of way. Maybe you get a hold of them. They've given you permission back. And you can get a hold of them about June. And say, you know, you really said you wanted to start discipling somebody else. Who have you chosen to be the person you're going to disciple or to mentor or to come alongside and be a prayer partner or a learning partner with? And how's that going for you? And that built-in accountability is critical, because we know, don't we, that left to our own, most of us won't stay with a plan very long. I I mean, that's the way it is with New Year's resolutions. That's the way most things are. But if we have somebody that's a friend alongside, not a mean person, just a friend alongside to say, hey, how's it going? You hanging in there? You doing it with it? How can I pray for you on it? I'm going to encourage you. And sometimes to get in your face and challenge you. I believe if we follow this plan this year, you're going to have the most spiritual growth you've ever had in your life. I've been doing church camps for almost 30 years. And church camp weeks are an enormous spiritual high. And the biggest challenge we have with them is that youth scatter then all across the state of Indiana to go back to their homes. And we lose that sense of connectedness and accountability and all that stuff that goes, and sometimes they feel like they fall off the mountain. So with this, my encouragement to you is to make it sort of like a year-long church camp. To say, how can I just grow every week, grow, talk, encourage, challenge, ask questions, debate a little bit about it, and grow some more. And I think it'll really help you. Sound like a good plan? I think it sounds awesome. It sounds really fun. I'm going to do it. I hope you do too. Okay, let me hand you that book there, Tashina. Thank you. All right, let's take a look at our main text for today. I wanted to give you that layout. Oh, I got to say this. Since, put your name in it. Put your name in it right now. They all look the same. So open it up and just put your name in it. And here is the deal with this. Our church is bigger than this. I mean, it doesn't seem like it to you because any service that you show up to has about this many people or maybe even a few less. So this seems normal to you. But I'm going to tell you, I'm here three services. Our church is bigger than this. So you have to help interpret all I just said to everybody else. Okay, I'm not going to go through all of this next week. We'll give a very brief introduction to the book because we're going to still be handing them out and all that kind of stuff. So just find some friends, some neighbors, some people in your small group and interpret for them how this the whole thing works, all right? So we'll work together kind of like it's our storm protection plan that will work, okay? We can do that. Let's take a look at Colossians. I love this passage in Colossians because it really teaches us about putting things into action. The first part that we looked at last week was all about focus. And if we could say, set your hearts and set your minds, it's all about focus. And you say, this is Christ, this is the goal, this is where I'm going. But the next part is about picking that and putting it into action. I mean, I think of John F. Kennedy, who early in the 1960s said, there's the moon, we're going. And then NASA said, we don't know how to get there. If you've studied that, it's like, we don't know how we're going to pull this off. But that declaration made it happen. I think of Ronald Reagan, who stood at the Berlin Wall and said, take this wall down. And then action came after that. So you can declare something, but if action doesn't follow it, it becomes empty words. I think of the New York Jets a few years ago when the coach came out and guaranteed a Super Bowl victory in the preseason, and they didn't even make the playoffs. See, if you say, I'm going to do something, but it's not followed with action, then it's pretty empty. So this is about action, putting it into place. The question then becomes, what do we have to do with that? Well, we set our focus, we put it into action, and then we let Christ be in relationship with us is the nature of this service. Let's take a look at the put part of that. What do? We have to put on first. What do you put on? To put off. You first want to put off, get rid of, we've seen this scripture, internal things and external things. I call it inside stuff and outside stuff. The tendency, I believe, is that we often think what we're going to get rid of is only stuff that everybody can see. Only stuff that everybody can see outside of my home sometimes. The public persona, the face that we put on, the mask that we put on. And we think, if I can fix that up and make myself look better, if your goal is at the end of 2014 to make yourself look more spiritual, then you might as well check out of this game right now. Because no one here cares what you look like except Christ. So we want to get rid of both the internal and the external, not just one, both of them. What are the things in us that are not pleasing to God? What are the things in my life when I'm with no one that God would say, that's not my best for you? What are the things in you when you're home alone with your family, internally and externally in your life, that you know God would say, hey, if you want to have a better family, a better relationship with your sister or your mom or your spouse, or if you want to have a better life at home, this is some stuff you need to get rid of. You got to chuck. What would God say to you if you were just like one-on-one time with Jesus and you're sitting down next to Jesus? He said, Jesus, I really want to be able to have a better life at work, at church, my other relationships. What are the things that, what do you think Jesus would say to you? Like, hey, you know the way you've been doing this? This is not my best for you. These are the things I'd like you to unload. A moment ago, Todd prayed that we would take every thought captive. And I had a picture come to my mind as he was praying that. I had a picture come to my mind of a literal jail cell. And that we would go and take these thoughts, internal stuff that leads to the external stuff, we'd take these thoughts and we would just bind them up and we'd wrap them up and we'd throw them in a jail cell and we'd slam the door and we'd lock it and we'd swallow the key. Like it's gone. Never again. What are the things, if the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and if you listen, He is, He would say, this is not my best for you. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I'm going to go down through his list and just think, is it internal or external? I mean, obviously, they're always both, but primarily. Put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which he says is idolatry. He says, get rid of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and stop lying. It's not the exhaustive list. Maybe you're creative and you have more you could add to it. The question becomes, what do I need to chuck? What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to bury away? What do I need to lock into a prison cell never to visit again? What is in me, or what is being done through me, that is not under the control of the Holy Spirit? And look, you're not going to get rid of this today. I mean, you can take the action today, and you should take the action today. But I believe this: as you get rid of it today, it'll be the first thing you'll want to go back to under stress, in difficult times, when you let your guard down, whatever it is, it'll be the first thing you want to revisit. So you take the action in the moment, and you lay it at the altar, and you say, I'm never going there again. And then you work at it for the next several weeks through this study, all of 2014, and in many ways, the rest of your life. Because if it weren't a weak area for you, you wouldn't be consumed by it right now. It wouldn't be dwelling in you right now. There are lots of things that all of it, each one of us, there are lots of things that we don't struggle with. And don't you find it interesting, like somebody else struggles with that, and you think, why do they struggle with that? Are they just messed up? Are they just really weak? Are they just broken? Why does that, you ever think that? Like, I can't imagine. I would never even do that. But the things in our own life, they're saying about us. So the reality is you already have, you're weakened in that area, and that's why the enemy of your soul has been able to occupy you with it rather than occupying you with the things of God. So you get rid of it today, make a decision, you chuck it, you put it off, you throw it in the jail cell, you get rid of it. But then every day, you've got to decide not to go back. I don't know, maybe it's like an AA meeting. Every day, every single day, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back there. But we not only take off things, we put on things. And I find it very similar that we put on outside stuff and inside stuff. It's both the same. I would start with the inside. You're gonna take that and you're gonna put on these virtues that God has given to us. And we can get them here from Colossians. I'm gonna read them in a moment. But all through Scripture, as you're studying Scripture, what does Christ want me to wear? And think of it as clothing that you put on. You made a decision when you got up this morning to put something on, and I'm so thankful for that, by the way. But you decided to wear what you're going to wear for some kind of reason, because it's warm, because it's stylish, because whatever. You decided to put on whatever you're wearing today. It's comfortable. There's a reason. So why is it we put the things of God on? Why is it we put the fruit of the Spirit on us? Love, joy, peace, patience. Why is it we put virtues throughout Scripture on ourselves and we make the decision to wear them internally and externally, if you will? Why do we do that? See, he says this, put on the new self. I love that image. The old self, the one that used to be occupied by all of this negativity and all of this even demonic stuff, is dead. If you are a baptized believer in Christ, that old person is gone and dead. And only Christ now lives in you and is alive in you. And because of that, you can know the goodness of God. Who's in confirmation class right now? All right, all of you stand up right now. Every one of you. Everywhere you are. Okay, I'm going to hear you really loud. The memory verse for this week, you know it from Galatians? You guys face them, and you guys face them, and all of you together, you guys listen to this. This is the memory verse for this week, and it is go for it right now. Isaiah, just lead it loud, and everybody's going to follow. That was really awesome. Now, I would appreciate if you did it together. Stand up again. Because it sounded like speaking in tongues, which is awesome also, but that's not the goal for today. So let's do this again. And I want you to listen, church, to the power of this. The old self that you get rid of, the new self you put on. Go again. Hold on. This is failing. Isaiah, come right up here. And I got a red microphone here because somebody's got to take authority. All right. Now, listen to him, and as he's saying it, you say it too. I think you guys can do this. Okay, go for it.
I have been crucified with Christ, so I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. The body I now live, I live through faith in the Son of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me.
I think you're the only one that knows it, so that's really awesome. Awesome. Thank you, guys. I have been crucified with Christ. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We put off the old, we take on the new. And Scripture, from beginning to end, tells us to get rid of the things of the world. Put off the earthly nature. Put it to death. Lock it in a cell. Put it away. Stomp it out. Get rid of it. And put on this new life in Christ. See, if Christ is only about something in my head, something like I can believe in, okay, I believe there was a guy named Jesus, he died on the cross, that's really cool, and I get to go to heaven. Are you kidding me? That's it? That's all of faith? I mean, I could have done that and worked as a computer programmer, which was my first career. Why not? I mean, I could have done that. I didn't even have to go to church. I believe, yep, there's a Jesus. That's cool. I could have stayed home and watched football, pregame shows all my life. That would have been so much not fun. But there's got to be more. Doesn't there? We get rid of the old. We put on the new. We put it on in us. And so Paul says, therefore, this is you, God's chosen people, God's holy people, God's dearly loved. Clothe yourselves, listen, with compassion. That's what he wants you to wear. With kindness. With humility. I want you to be the best humble people in the world. Wait, that's not possible. With gentleness. Oh, what's it like to be gentle in the world? With patience. Anybody here struggle with patience? Bear with each other. It's easy to bear with somebody who's always loving you and complimenting you. It's not so easy to bear with somebody who doesn't love you so much. Forgive one another. You have a list of people and wrongs. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, but over all these virtues, put on love. It's one thing to set our hearts and minds on Christ and say, that's where I want to go. I want to be Christ-like. It's another thing to say, I take action now, and I'm going to take my first step, and I'm going to get rid of this, and I'm going to put on that, and that's going to help me grow in Him and be like Him in every way. So right now, I want you to think about what it is you need to offer up to Him. What do you need to give Him? What do you need to say, take this from me, Holy Spirit, just take it from me. You've already convicted me. Would you just take it? Spend some time in prayer right now. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to explore my life. I know that Satan is already prowling my life. And so I would ask that you do this. Examine me as I examine myself. Convict me, Holy Spirit. You're good at that. And would you bring to mind right now those things that are not God's best that I simply need to put in the incinerator of life? And Holy Spirit, we also ask this. There may be some pieces that are missing. Godly virtues. Maybe even disciplines of the faith. Prayer and attending to Scripture and fasting. Hearing from God. Displaying the gifts of the Spirit. Whatever those are that you would like to give us today to add to our wardrobe so we may put them on, we receive them. We trust you, Holy Spirit, that you haven't led us astray, but these very things that are coming to mind are the things you want us to get rid of and the things you want us to put on. But we do know it's not as simple as just saying, I got it. We need to stay with you on a regular basis, a daily basis. That's why you've given us prayer that we can talk to you and hear from you. That's why you've given us the Word of God so that we can see exactly what you want us to know about ourselves and to do about the world. So we can't wait for this year to see what it looks like and the growth that's going to take place. I'm getting a picture right now of seasons in life. And I know that the snow of today will melt into the spring of tomorrow. And maybe that picture that I'm receiving is about our spiritual lives, which have been, in some cases, maybe for some of us, locked down and frozen. And it's time for us to go through a thawing period and a warming period to burst it forth into life. So we trust you for tomorrow. And we make a decision not to stay put, to stay stationary on a spiritual growth plan, but to always be moving toward you and moving toward others. Because you told us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind, and to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. And that's the very least we can do for you. Thank you for the provision of a warm room today where we can gather together. We pray for our church everywhere, Compass Church, Selma Church, gathered today and in homes. We pray for safety from this bitter cold over the next few days. We pray this prayer covering also over the entire reach. We have people living in multiple counties that are part of this ministry. So, Father, would you give this as a blessing from this church to this community throughout Delaware County and Randolph County and Jay County and Henry County, everywhere people come from. People who are believers and non-believers, would you give them protection from this storm that's upon us? And if there's a neighbor in need, and we are prompted to be the ones who are to do something for them, Father, we commit to take action to do that. We love you and we bless you. It's in your very holy name that we pray. Amen.